John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter 4. Boy, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're here today. Today is an important message. This is a keeper. John chapter 4, I'm going to talk to you about biblical worship. We've been looking at examples of biblical worship, and today is another in the series, and it is astounding. John chapter 4 and verse 23, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, that's what we're trying to learn about, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now, this is a study series looking at true worship and true worshipers. It's wonderful the Bible actually gives us instructions, but it's another thing added to the cake that He actually shows us what He means by what He says. I like examples, amen? Your Bible is called a living book. It is full of lies of people. And God, Jesus, is talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees are trying to disprove the resurrection, and Jesus uses one verse there out of the Old Testament when God says, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive even, and they are alive eternally today, amen? They live forever. So we're looking at living people. This is a living book, and people who have gone through the fire, gone through the valleys, gone through disasters, and yet still worshiped God. So we've been looking at how God's people worshiped God. We looked at how Abraham worshiped even though he was about to lose his only begotten son Isaac. We looked last week at how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not worship this world's false gods of gold and money and power and music, and were yet ready to pay the ultimate price to be able to worship the God of heaven simply and powerfully. Today, I want to turn to the pages of the book of Job and learn once again, our worship will always be tested. Are you listening? Our worship will always be put on trial, cross-examined. But true worship will always triumph. The test of one's worship is what happens when everything goes wrong. Amen? Okay, we're going to have to settle that fact. The test of your worship is not the fact you're in church on Sunday. The test of your worship is not the fact that you believe in Jesus. The test of your worship is disaster. Can you still worship your God when everything has gone wrong? Do you still hold on to your faith? Do you still, as Celine would love, she loves to sing that song, Trust and Obey. Do you still trust and obey, believing there is no other way to be happy in Jesus? Can you still say God is good and His mercy endureth forever? People have a weird concept of what is worship. For most people, to worship, you've got to be in church. You've almost got to be comatose, mesmerized, and hypnotized to be in a state of worship, according to most people. And for a lot of people, you have to be happy already. You have to be prosperous. Things have to be going well for you to be able to worship a good and great God. And that is a wrong concept of worship because none of the above is true. When you read the Bible, almost all of the instances of worship were in the midst of disaster. Especially in the situation we're about to study this morning in the book of Job. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us. Father, bless Your word to our lives so that our lives would bless Your name. And that we would give the devil a good kick in the rear once again. When he seeks so hard to stop our praise, may he soon discover it can't be done anymore. Because we settle today, because of this truth, You are worthy. Father, and for anyone in this room who is playing church, who is visiting church. We beg you and we invite them to meet, to talk heart to heart, and to settle their eternity. Find out they must be born again, not just go through the motions. They've got to surrender to an all-holy God who loves them intensely and died for them. And they can do nothing more. What they must do is accept the free gift, which is eternal life, forgiveness from all sins, by faith. May sound new to them, may sound strange, but may they understand it. Give them understanding this morning. Give us all understanding. And then the joy that comes from making you our Alpha at the beginning and our Omega. That you be everything. Good, bad, everything. May we worship you like you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of background, I want to introduce who was this guy named Job. So if you find the middle of your Bible, which is usually Psalms, then go to the left. Just before Psalms is a book. It is not for the unemployed. You got it. Nobody likes my jokes anymore. All right, everybody, turn your head. Job. Who was this guy? Job, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. Look at these four characteristics. Perfect and upright. One that feared God. And I like this old word, eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. He was an Irishman. 3,000 camels. All right, so not quite Irish. And 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Who was this Job? Who was this guy? Well, first of all, he's a believing man. He's a believing man. Look what it was. This was a perfect, upright, fearing God man who eschewed evil. Perfect means blameless. This man was right with God. When God looked at him, he said, he's fine. Amen? You see, that's what the blood of the Lamb did for you. Not that he had never sinned, but he always had a covering for his sin. And it wasn't his own works. It was the blood of a Lamb. He was a perfect man. He was right with God. Secondly, upright means he had nothing to hide. Nothing to be embarrassed of in his life. He was clean. Again, not that he had not sinned, but that he always had his sins forgiven. He was not ashamed. Somebody could say, you used to be a drunkard. You used to beat your wife. I'm pointing at people. Don't get the wrong idea. Amen. You used to do this. And he could say, it's all under the blood. I have nothing to be ashamed of anymore. I'm not that same man. Amen. He was upright. You'd meet him, and the people would look at him and go, isn't that Job? And they go, yeah, but it's not the same guy I knew. Amen. He was upright. He feared God. Hey, you believe God? Faith in God means nothing if there's no fear of God. Some people say, I don't fear God. Then you don't believe God, because our God is a consuming fire. He still judges sin. Amen? You don't understand that God didn't change at the cross. We changed because of the cross. Amen? What the cross was an all-holy God judging my sin on himself. There wasn't him deciding, well, now I'll overlook all sin. He cannot overlook sin. He has to judge sin, and he judged it on his son. You better fear God. What does the Bible say? You reap what you sow. That's an eternal law. And he hated sin. That's what eschewed. Somebody once defined it this way. Whenever he got close to sin, he chewed it and spit it out. He eschewed sin. He detested sin. I like that. You say you have faith in God, it'll mean nothing if there's no hatred of sin in your life. If you don't just, I hate that. Amen. Job avoided, he disdained sin. God cannot bless a person. And God cannot use a person who does not hate sin. Job hated sin. He was a believing man. He not only was a believing man, he was a blessed man. Look at this guy. God had blessed his home. He had a wonderful, faithful wife. One wife. Amen. He had 10 healthy, happy children. That's a blessed home, amen. God had blessed his business. Look at his farming. He got more animals than I can count. Loads of animals, loads of land. He's one of the greatest. He is the greatest men of the day. And God had blessed his name. He had a great reputation. You know, there's something about having a good reputation, amen? Something about having a good reputation because you work hard, because you raise your family right, because you fear God and love God. That's a good reputation. He had a great name. But not only was he, and James 1:17 says, every good gift, everything that you get comes from, that's good, comes from above, from the Father of lights. All right, so he was a blessed man, but more than that, he was a burdened man. Look down there in verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. Maybe their birthday. Maybe they just decided to have, okay, it's Craig, it's celebrate Craig Day. I don't know what. But they feasted in their house, and all the family would go over there and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job, look what it says, Job sent and he sanctified them. And he rose up early in the morning, and instead of taking care of his business, look what he says, he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually, as they played, and as they went on with life, Job was burdened about their walk with God. He now, as a dad, watched his sons grow up. They now were on their own, and Job, at that time, was burdened about, are they walking with God? Are they privately sinning and turning away from God? And Job, in the Old Testament, the father was like a priest. He had the responsibility not only to raise his kids, but to pray for them, intercede for them, and give an offering when they didn't. Now, I have the opportunity and the privilege to intercede for you, to intercede for my family, but I have one name that I do it in. No more lambs, no more oxen, no more sheep. The name of Jesus, amen. But Job didn't have Jesus Christ yet. So he was burdened about his kids. Who was this man Job? He didn't just let his kids just go the way of the world. He couldn't stop them, but he was going to do everything he could to make it hard for them to be comfortable living in sin. And he wasn't even sure if they were. But he wanted to make sure that their frivolity, their playing time, didn't get them in sin. Now what happened to Job? You probably know some of the story. You know what happened to Job? The same thing that happens to absolutely everyone in this life. Here's your word, disaster struck. Look at chapter 3 and verse 25. 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. He's got trouble. You know what the truth is? You can be dotting all your I's, perfectly crossing your T's, and yet still get horrendously sideswiped by disaster without even knowing about it. You're driving along on the left side of the road, you're in your lane, you're within speed limit, and then wham, some jerk of a car comes across you and wrecks you. Amen? And don't you miss for one minute that doesn't happen spiritually. You say, I wasn't sinning. I wasn't looking for trouble. I was at home. I was minding my own business. And then everything fell apart. Yeah. That's life. Amen? See, we're not going to tell you a fairy tale. We're not going to tell you follow Christ and all your troubles are over. We're not going to tell you that what you do is you pray this prayer. It's guaranteed to bring prosperity in your life. That's a lie. What we're going to say is in this roller coaster called life, there is nothing but ups and mainly downs. But we've got somebody to go through them with. Four of the worst disasters that could happen to any of us happened at once, all at once in Joseph's life. First of all, there was the loss of all his income, all of his life security. The Sabaeans come, they steal 1,000 of his oxen and 500 of his asses, donkeys. Lightning storm kills his entire herd of 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of lightning. Chaldeans stole. Now, I don't know, maybe some of them died of a heart attack. Sheep are kind of frail. He not only lost his income. Now, I wish Job is such a study, and it is one of the greatest studies, and every Christian ought to spend a month in the book of Job and really just putting your feet in his shoes and crying with him. So I'm not going to do that today because I want to get to a point. I'm just developing the background here. He not only lost his income and his security, everything that gave him his prosperity was gone. He then loses his children. A tornado hits the house they're all in. A windstorm hits it, and the walls collapse and kill all of them instantly. The loss of his health. We call it a crippling disease. He's immobile. He can't move without absolute tormenting pain. He just sits on an ash heap. The only thing he can do is to take a sharp, it's a potsherd, it's a broken piece of clay pot, and to give him some sort of comfort, he scrapes the tops of his boils. Now, you can't understand that. You say, why would he do that? Because the pain of just letting them be there was so bad. Just releasing the pressure in those boils was a sense of relief. Loss of his health. But that's not the worst. His wife comes along and just wants to die. Now, don't just laugh. I know it is funny. But at the same time, he needed his wife. She was not crippled with this disease. He needed some support. He needed somebody to come in there and say, trust God. He needed somebody to pray with him. He needed some friends. He needed a family. He's lost his kids. He's not stone. He's not numb. He is broken, and there's nobody there for him. He's lost absolutely every sense of support. Did you have a bad day? Anybody have a bad week? Shut up. Amen. Come on. It's supposed to be there. How did Job respond? Chapter 1 and verse 20. Job, chapter 1 and verse 20. Then Job arose. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and gave up. Now, that, if you were writing about me and I went through that, hello, that's how you would write my epitaph. He gave up. But Job's not like me. Job's not like most of us. And he worshiped. You know, I said, what? Why? Why would anybody not believe that that's the most amazing book in this universe? To have those words. I mean, if you were writing about my life, that's what you would find. And he gave up. And he gave up. And he gave up. And he gave up. Job here, he worshiped. Look what it says, verse 21. And he said, and he did not say it with great words of strength and valor. He says, with shaking, trembling lips, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. Look who he gives all control over to. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged, blamed God foolishly. Look down to chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You've walked a very fine line. Everybody else has cheated on their taxes. Everybody else has lied. Everybody else has lived a life that everybody else normally lives. And yet you've walked this narrow path trying to please God. And look at how you get. Look at your life. You still hold on to this thing you think is worth holding on to. Curse God, won't you? And die. Verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the unsaved women speak. That's what foolish there. Only the fool says in his heart, there's no God. He says, you're talking like you don't even believe in God. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You know, Job shows us how to really, really worship God. You know, that book make a great movie, wouldn't you imagine? Wouldn't you like to have a movie on the life of Job? You'd watch it about every month, amen? Well, there's no movie. There is a book, though. You should read it often, at least once a year. Now, let's look at the message. I want to talk about how to really worship God. Job teaches us just another angle on this. And I want to say first off, if you're going to worship God, you're going to make it a choice. You're going to make it a choice. His worship was a choice. His worship was not based on feelings. And I've said this, and I'll say this probably 12 more times before we're finished with this series of people that worship God. Never does worship, when it comes between us and God, never is it based upon our feelings. You may feel good and you may want to worship God, but that's not the reason why you worship God. Are you with me? It was a choice that he made. Job was tested. Let's see if I'm getting up here. Job was tested and tempted by Satan to stop believing in God. This was a trial of his faith, yes, but he was being tempted. He was being pulled down to where he would ultimately, as his wife would encourage him, to go ahead and just die. Find the easy way out. Commit suicide. And don't tell me there aren't people in your life, if not you, having wished that you could die. Job was being tested to not praise God. He could have just said, these lips have praised God all my life, and here now what do I get for it? I think I'll stop. That was a testing. He felt the pull. And ultimately he was tested and tempted to not accept what God had given him. How many of you like blessings? Let me see your hands. How many of you like it when God just dumps a load of blessings on your life? Amen! How many of you like it when he dumps trouble on your life? It's kind of hard, isn't it? Shall we not receive both good and evil? I think he's God, amen? It's not a yin-yang, God good, devil bad. God is good, but God's in charge, amen? And he knows what you need. Job was tested and tempted, yet Job still worshipped. You know, in the book of Daniel, Job and Daniel have a lot in common because Daniel purposed in his heart before any battle ever begins, he chose in his heart not to sin, to not stop living for God, even though Daniel had lost his family. I said Job and Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart not to sin, not to stop living for God, even though he lost his family, even though he had lost his homeland, even though he had lost his freedom, and even though he had lost his future. Daniel, sitting there as a slave in a foreign land, he purposes, I will not sin. Amen. And out of this mouth will go forth praise unto God. Will go forth prayer unto God. I will not lose what is important. So, it was a choice. And in every act of worship, it will be a choice, just like the moment that you and your beautiful bride walked up here. Ladies, you and your handsome hunk of a husband, you were blind, you didn't know any better, came up to the front and you made a vow, I will love this person till death, whether I kill him or not. Till death, do us part. And you approach up to there and you make a vow and you make a choice and you don't know any better. Amen? But you make that choice. And then you love. Amen? And you love and you love and you love. I'm only doing this because I love you. No. And you worship God because you made a choice to worship God. His worship, secondly, was in weakness. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 20. You think Job just got up and went, well, I guess we just get good and evil from God, right? Give me my hat and my boots and we'll just go out there and try to start all over, amen? Pull myself up by the bootstraps. Isn't that what Job said? No. Look at what the environment was. Look at the condition that Job was in and yet worshiped. Chapter 1 of verse 20, it says, then Job arose, he rent his mantle. Now, your clothes are kind of important, especially when there's no Duns or Roaches or Marks and Spencers nearby. Yep, clothes are expensive. And he tears, he says, I'll not be wearing this anymore. He shaves his head. What are you going to do that for? Unless you've been very sick, you've not known about how you feel when you can't take a bath, and how you feel when you are covered in disease. You don't want to be bothered by hair. And he shaved his head. And he fell down upon the ground. And he worshipped. Job, his worship was in weakness. Now what I mean by this is this. He was grieving. And yet worshipped. He said, I can't do it. Yes, you can. If you're Christian, we're already a duality of natures, aren't we? When you're grieving, you can worship. If you think that you have to get rid of the grief before you worship, then you don't know God. You're thinking, I got to get rid of the trouble. This is what it was before you got saved, you remember? I'll get rid of the sin and then I'll come to God. Doesn't work. Amen? And you're still thinking that I've got to get my life in order. I've got to get this sin taken care out of my life. I've got to get these bills paid. I've got to get these needs met. And then I'll praise God. It doesn't work that way. In the midst of the most deep grief, Job worshiped. He was grieving. He's alone. How do you like coming to church? Isn't this a blessing? Isn't it great just to get together? Just the excitement? Job had no church. Job had nobody. He does have three friends show up, but they ain't no help at all. His wife won't help him. He is alone. He is sick. He is dying. And without God intervening, he has no hope. And yet he still worships God. How many of you been there? Probably none of us. Yet. You know what Satan's purpose of our trials? I picked the wrong thing. It takes forever to think of Satan's purpose of our trial or our testing is to get us to stop worshiping God. Hopefully you're getting the point. Satan hates the worship of God. He can't stand the fact that he doesn't have our attention. He hates us giving honor and glory to God instead of to Him. He is consumed with the desire to stop us from singing. Amen? In Job, God allowed Satan to completely and utterly ruin Job all the way down to the bottom. It's an extreme. And yet God still found, Job still found the ability to worship God. Already said that? Come on. Here, worship and praise. It's not because we feel good. Praise is not something I do on the basis of my feeling or my circumstances. Job determines to worship the Lord no matter what. Job worships God in the midst of grief. Job worships God in abstract, absolute loss. Job worships God on an ash heap. Job worships God alone. Job worships God in weakness. And Job worships God by faith. By trusting in an all good God, and just letting God do His job. The book of Job shows in its extreme the purity of true worship. It's not faked, it's not manufactured, it's not acted out. This stuff had to be real. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord how long and how often? Always. And again, Paul says, I better repeat it, rejoice. Why would he say that? Was he talking to a bunch of people who are just clapping and they're happy? Does he tell people to do that because they're happy? No, he tells them because the people are grieving, because the people are broken, because the people are poor, because the people don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to live another week. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. You know what else the Bible says? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in how many things? Now, these are not the verses you want to hear when you're on an ash heap. Amen? Are you listening? Marcus, your life collapses. You lose everything. everything, and you're sitting in the ash heap, and here comes Pastor Craig.
Well, brother, rejoice in the Lord.
I deserve a punch right there, right? Do you understand? You have to settle these verses before you get into that valley. Amen? The only thing that Job needs is somebody to weep with him now. But you've got to settle these things now while your health's good, now while your kids are here, now while things are okay. In everything, you ought to give thanks so that when you get into that valley, you still can give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible continues to say, Ephesians 4:31, here's a good command. Let all bitterness... Who's the source of your bitterness usually, besides your wife? Yourself, but also your circumstances. They're out of my control. This person did this. That person wouldn't do that. That's bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Evil speaking is speaking of when the world's falling apart and you just want to get mad at God. Be put away from you with all malice. Bible says, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that you'd be ashamed of. Look what it says. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You say, could Job edify anybody? You better believe it. You read Job and it picks you up. Now, you, in order for Job to pick you up, you've got to go down. And experience in word what he's experiencing. And then as he works through 42 chapters of that thing, it's really not Job working through it. I'm going to show you a great truth in a minute. But you'll come out going, wow. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building somebody up, that it may minister grace, not bitterness, but grace under the hearers. Look at this. Psalm 34:1, you know the verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a hard verse. How about this one? Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the easy gift. Is that what it says? No, it's the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, always giving thanks unto God. Can you thank God for every one of your troubles? I don't yet. But that's worship. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me. Two more verses. Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good. His mercy endures forever. How about one more? The Lord is good to how many? You say, but what about so-and-so? What about those people? What about that situation? God is good to them. You just can't see it yet. One of the great things about heaven is you get up there and God will show you how he was good. And you'll go, wow, I wish I trusted you. Third point. His worship was of God. When Job worshipped, he was not worshipping the good times. He wasn't remembering the good times. He wasn't thinking of his prosperity. He was worshipping God. He was not thinking of what God was in history. He was not thinking and worshipping what he needed. Did you know a lot of us give more attention to our needs than we do to the God of all needs? Amen? You know, the devil knows how to get your attention. He just gives you trouble. And then your attention goes off of God and on to your trouble. Amen? And you know what you're doing when you give all your attention on that thing? You are worshiping. You say, I'm not? Yeah. Let's watch you. You bow down to that need. You are consumed with that need. You are, all of your attention is on them. And if that was another woman, your wife would kill you. Amen? Why do we think God is any less? Anything more important to God is an idol. Amen? But just, he worshipped just of who God is. We say the same of people who've done great things. If I mention Eric Shackleton, that's his first name, right? Shackleton, who went to the South Pole. Was it Eric Shackleton? I think it is. No. Was it Ernest Shackleton? So isn't he? Well, we say Shackleton got all the way to the South Pole. He got over there, had his men stranded. He went 900 miles, got help, got them saved. He's got my vote. He's a great man. Neil Armstrong. We say people like that, they come through, they arrive back, and they go through cities, and they give them ticker tape parades, and they give them accolades. What are they doing?
Giving honor to whom honor is due.
Isn't God worthy? What has He done?
Absolutely everything.
Job's worship was of God. And lastly, Job's worship was for others. You know, it's an amazing truth, but I want you to see something that maybe you need. Job's worship was for his wife. You know, the Bible talks about, and don't you talk to me about politically correctness and everything, about how women and men are equal. They are not. They're different. The Bible says that God put pressure, and God allows pressure on a man because it does not belong on a woman. Are you listening? And He expects us to realize, especially men, are you listening, that when you go through trouble, that you don't lean and dump it all on your wife. You know, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the home. You know, we're supposed to be the ones who, when trial is going out, that the husband doesn't head out to go drink and mom is left with the kids. You know, who's supposed to be home taking care of the situation, carrying the situation? The man. Amen. Now, Job, in that situation, you know what? He was, first and foremost, worshiping God to help his wife. The worst thing he could have ever done was to have agreed with his wife and say, yeah, let's curse God. It would have killed her. The only thing that's holding her up was that man on an ash heap holding up his hand saying, God, what went wrong? God, talk to me, God. My wife is over there. She wants to die. So do I in my heart of hearts, but I can't. God, talk to me. God, I got to be strong. I don't know how. God, help me. Now that's a man worshiping. Amen. You know, Job is worshiping for his friends. Three men come up there, and they don't know how to walk with God. They got this idea of God that is twisted and messed up. And Job is going to straighten them out. And he does. And he worships God as an example for his friends. Now, he's not thinking of this, but it ultimately does help his friends. You know what else? I like this part. He was worshiping God for Satan. You know, Satan doesn't believe Job or you or I is able to keep from cursing God when we get in trouble. You know what I like? I like just watching Satan's spiritual butt being kicked. I say that with great tenderness. And Job was one of those days where Satan had to go, eep, 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 eep. Because one man stayed true to God. He did it for Satan. You know, he did it for God. His worship was for others. Do you see Job getting any great feeling out of his worship? Hello? Not at all. His worship was for others. And look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're almost through. Stay with me. I know it's warm in here. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written in the Scriptures aforetime, in the past, were written for our learning, that we through patience, you ever heard of the patience of Job? That we through patience and comfort of those Scriptures might have what? Amen. So why did Job worship? For us. Do you ever settle and make a choice that I'm going to stay true because somebody's watching, somebody needs to see somebody stay true to God whether I feel like it or not? His worship was for others. Let me give you a couple of concluding principles and we are done. First off, let me show you the power of worship. You see, Job didn't just believe in God. Job's belief turned into something he could speak. That's why if you're going to get saved, the Bible says you've got to believe in your heart, yes, that God has raised him from the dead, but you need to be able to confess it with your mouth. All right? If God is good and you believe that in your heart, it ought to be able to come out of your mouth. Not evil communications, not bitterness, not anger, not wrath, not clamor. The power of worship. When you get to the place when you feel like cursing and yet you bless. When you feel like giving up and yet you praise, listen to this. It kept him from being suicidal. Amen. You got some people who are on the edge. Get them close to the God of that book. And get them where they get into the habit of just praising God. And they will move back from the edge. God takes the edge off of life. Amen. Better than any drink ever would. The power of worship. That worship, just by making my lips praise God, thank God, give honor to God, stops me from blaming God and cursing God and getting upset with God, from hating God. I know a lot of guys, I know people personally who've been through the mill 10 times worse than I've ever imagined. Right now, they're away from God, they're not interested in God, they won't read their Bible, they want to pray, they're as saved as you and I are. What's the problem? They stopped worshiping. They blame it on, say, well, this happened in my life. So? Of course it happened in your life. That's life. But that was not meant to defeat you. That was meant to find out, do you have anything inside? Worship kept him from hating God. It helped him from abandoning his relationship with God. Worship actually keeps you close. You're going through a hard time. You know what's sweet? You and your bride. You know what's sweet? Just hold her hand. Not say anything. Some of you are wishing you had a bride, I know. But you're going through a hard time, just honor her. Just adore her. You know what that does? Gives her strength. You know, when you're going through a hard time, just worship the Lord. Honor Him. It'll stop you from losing that relationship. More people, and in Ireland, you will watch divorce skyrocket here in the next 10 years. You will watch the practical separations are phenomenal now. But what you've got is money problems are going to drive a wedge between half of this country. Because it ain't going to be good all the time. And in those troubles and in those situations, you know what you need to do? You need to double up the closeness. And in your trouble, you need to double wrap your relationship with God. And you do it through praise, thanksgiving, honor, worship. Two more concluding principles. The person of our worship. Job was being pulled by two extremes. The devil wants you to see only defeat and disaster. That is not worth it to go on. God is trying to convince you. The Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you. The Bible was written to enable you to see Him who is invisible. Amen? Job did not realize that this was a spiritual battle. He didn't know what was going on. The person of our worship. Now this is really, really what I want you to get. He didn't know that He was being used to teach us about God. Let me say it this way. Job is not the hero. Job is not the guy that we're going, wow, what a great guy. This is not the purpose of the book of Job. Yes, Job had strength. Yes, and thank God that Job doesn't give up. But let me just say this. Job's not the one to get excited about. He's not the one we're really trying to learn from. When his wife gives up, and yet he still stays strong, and I'm glad that's true, he's not the focus. The person to learn from is God. Listen to this. The reason why God blessed this entire event, and if you've read the last chapter of Job, we'll see it in a moment. God blessed this entire event because Job just let God do what He saw fit. He didn't rebuke the devil. He didn't wrestle with the devil. He didn't talk to the devil. He just said, God, what are you doing? I'd like to be let in a little on it. But I'll trust you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. See, let me take it a little deeper. Job teaches us not about the strength aspect of our faith. What we can do when we believe. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, listen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm way out here and I'm wondering, is anybody going to get this? When Paul was having disaster strike him, and his health was falling apart, and he prayed three times to get rid of this thorn in his flesh, this satanic attack against him that was weakening him, that was pulling him down and stopping him from being able to do all those things that as an apostle he so enjoyed doing. And with all of that disaster in his life, God said, I will not answer this prayer. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, listen to this. When he says that, Paul was learning that he wasn't finding
more strength. In my weakness, I found that I was stronger.
He does not say that. He says, I found strength. But it wasn't his strength. Are you listening? This is a real fine line between what we understand and what God says. What we think is that when I'm really down and when I'm really depressed and when I'm really weak and I get down on my knees and I pray and say, God, give me strength to get through this day, that we get up and go,
super Christian. You know, find me a phone booth somewhere.
And we figure that now, woo, we can fly, we can do things. Woo, I prayed today. Woo, I read my Bible today. Woo, amen, I've been in church, amen. I'm strong. And that's not Christianity. When you get down and you have no strength to get back up, you find that God is strong. See, Job didn't stand up on that ash heap and say, God is able, God is strong. He didn't do that. He stayed on that ash heap. And yet God shows up. God says, watch what I can do. And the real Christians in this room who learn how to truly worship God will not get this idea of the super Christian syndrome that's out there, that the person who's got the prosperity, and the person that seems to get their prayers always answered, and the person that seems to be happy all the time. I'm telling you, that's not normal Christianity. I'm glad for everybody gets answers to prayer. But there are a ton of times when there is no answer from heaven, and it's not because there's sin in your life, it's because the devil is testing you, and God is back in the way saying, is this guy going to stay true? Paul saw the strength of God, and listen to this. He rejoiced in his weakness. He delighted to be weak so he could see God be strong. Does that make sense? He did not delight in his weakness so that he became strong. I know I'm repeating, but it's not me. It wasn't Job. It was God. And we missed that. You know why I got saved? Because I saw in me was nothing good. I didn't see any strength in me. I didn't have any goodness in me. I saw an all-holy, all-righteous God die in my place and offer to me the gift of eternal life. I didn't have the strength in me to live forever. I didn't have the goodness in me to balance out my sin. God gave it to me. And when you go through that trial, and you just don't, there's no way out. There is only end ahead. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There's just a wall. And you're rapidly approaching. And you say, now God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust and obey. Isn't that what Abraham did? About to lose his son? Isn't that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? They saw a fiery furnace and they said, here we go. They were not waiting for a helicopter to come in and pick them up. Amen? Real worship is focused on God. And it is worshipped in weakness. I detest pride in myself.
Doing great. How you doing? I'm doing great. Yeah, fine.
That's not Christian. I may be, on the outside, not wanting to tell you about all the background. But like we were talking there, what is our answer, brother? I'm doing better than I deserve. Amen. The person of our worship. Before I do the last, your hymnal, let me... Well, I had it earlier. Listen to this. We sang this song, and Brother Leon had you stop on verse 3. Stand up for Jesus. Listen to this. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust. You're wrong. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger. Be never wanting there. The point is this. It's right there. The reminder is, stand in His strength, not in your own. You say, I've never been there. I've never experienced God's strength. I've always known my strength and the lack of it. Today is the challenge for you to step off into a life of worship that says, when I am weak, I will still worship. When I fall and when things collapse, I make this choice today, I will worship. The concluding principle, third and last one, is the result of our worship. Go back to Job now, verse chapter 42 and verse 10. Job 42 and verse 10. Very quickly I am through. Job 42 and verse 10. Then the Lord turned the captivity of Job. 42:10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren. Now, he hadn't been there. He was alone. Now they're all coming back. Amen? And all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him. Oh, they were so compassionate. A little late, you know. And they comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. I don't know how many earrings you can wear at one time. But anyway, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginnings. For he now had, look at the doubles, 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 10 daughters, same wife. 3 daughters, sorry. Same wife. Verse 16, well, 15, and well, 14. And he called the name of his first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapak. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even to 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. You know, the results of our worship are stacks and stacks and stacks of blessings. You know what? If you really love God, let me just equate. Worship equals love. There is nothing more pleasing to God. It's our worship. It's our love. And it's very important for you, when you come into church and we are singing these hymns, and when the preaching is going forth, and you're hearing the word, and your heart is just wanting to scream out, yes! That you're doing it to God going, wow, this is so good. This is what I needed. God, thank you. You gave this to me through a text, and it's a miracle. Stacks and stacks of blessings. Secondly, sanity. You know the results of his worship? It kept him sane. I believe this more than anything. You do not just count on your sanity, folks. It's not always going to be there. Okay? Job and his wife got through all this situation by worshiping and not complaining. You know, your anger never helped you one minute in your life. Amen? Your bitterness, your history keeping, your constant badgering somebody else who's given you problems never helped you once. You know what helped you? Worship. You know what the Bible says? Now, this is wild. You ready for this? Somebody says something about you. Somebody does something to hurt you. What does the Bible say do? Bless them. You know what that'll do for you? It'll give you back your sanity, and it will hurt them. It will. Amen. Do you know when Job was worshiping, God said, get the pen, Michael. Let's write this down. And Scripture was written. You know, all you're doing is you're fulfilling the same Scripture that Job fulfilled when you bless God, when you feel like complaining and giving up. The saints are encouraged. Here we are 4,000 years later. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job, not the book of Genesis, Job. And here we are being encouraged 4,000 years later. The saints are encouraged. And I believe this. You may be going through some trouble, but somebody comes along and they know you're going through a heartache. And out of your mouth comes, yeah, but God is good. Wow. I hope I'm as strong as that guy is when I go through the valley. Amen. It'll encourage somebody. And lastly, Satan is defeated again and again. Don't you just love a win? And sometimes you watch Cork win. They didn't win this last month, you know, against Kilkenny. But isn't it right? Wonderful to put in the old tape and watch them beat Kilkenny again, beat Tralee again, you know, Tipperary, I mean. And isn't it wonderful to watch a win? But, you know, it's just great to when you worship, Satan has to leave. Satan has to leave. Listen. Why do you worship and praise God? Why? Why? Is it because God is good or because God is being good to you? Fine line of difference. Big effect. Yes? That's the real answer. Because He's just worthy. When do you worship and praise God? When you feel like it? When you're reminded to? Or just because He's good? How easy do you find it to stop your worship and your praise of God? What does it take to stop you? How far will you go for the truth and for your Lord? When you feel like moaning, can you find it in your choice to sing? Worship is not only for the mountaintops, but also for the valleys and the ash heaps. Check your heart. Check your heart. What we've just been through is the greatest truth for a born-again child of God. Because you will lose your sanity, you will lose everything of value if God is not your rock. Are you listening? If He's not your anchor, if He is not your all, and He's not just somebody that fills in the gap on a Sunday morning. He is start to finish. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you sure you're saved? I better read it to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me just read it before we try and sing it. Jesus, I am resting. It goes like this. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon Thee, and Thy beauty fills my soul. For by Thy transforming power, Thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of just what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know Him like that? You're not going to learn in theory, only in the real world of disaster and trouble. Now, there's no way on earth you're going to get out of it. But wouldn't you like to get through it? Father, please bless Your people today. I've done my best. Now, You do the best now. Bring these things, these thoughts to a culmination in our heart that, yes, I have worshipped only when I felt like it. I have praised only when things were good and the check came in the mail and the troubles were gone. And I have been wrong. Because it has been imbalanced. And Father, You're welcome to take our lives and get glory by them. May we ever, ever praise You. And may this world see a people who show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Don't let us try to be like the world anymore, but be a light. Don't let us try to fit in. Let us find out there is no joy there in this world. There's joy in You. And for the person who's not sure of their salvation, may they come when it's all said and done. Talk to me. May we settle what it means to be born again. Let them be born from above today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. grab your hymn number 57, and I'm going to try this, and I don't know if I'll do very well.